Men, will please take your Bibles, and if you'll turn with me at this time to the book of James, James chapter 3 and verses 13 through 16. You know, Jesus came not only to die for your sins, but also to help you with your problems. God offers you a new life through his son Jesus, and with Jesus' power you can change. So we're doing this new message series called Lord, I Have a Problem. We're looking at how God helps us with the various problems we have in our lives. Last week we looked at problem number one. We looked at the problem of anger. Today we come to a new problem, the problem of envy. How does God help you with the problem of envy? We'll be looking at a number of passages this morning, but we're going to start with these verses from James chapter 3. So would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? James 3, beginning at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Well, dear God, as we look into your word this morning and look at this problem of envy, Lord, I know this is something all of us struggle with at times. And Lord, for some of us, this is a big one for us. This may be the major problem that we deal with. But Lord, whatever our circumstances, you have a word for us this morning. And so, God, speak to us through your word. Teach us through your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So how does God help you deal with the problem of envy? That's what we want to talk about this morning. But before we talk about how to deal with it, first of all, we need to look at the problem itself. And I've put together an outline in your worship guide. If you'd like to take that out to follow along, it shows you the different scriptures we'll be looking at. On the backside of that outline is a list of resources for further reading or study, if that is something that you would like to do after hearing the message this morning. Let's begin by talking about the problem of envy. Envy is an especially big problem in life, both for believers and for non-believers. In fact, I don't know if there's any other sin quite like it. Shakespeare dubbed it the green-eyed monster, which doth mock the meat it feeds on. That's about as fancy as we ever get in a church service. So there you go. That's Shakespeare. Chaucer called it a foul sin. The worst of sins, because it is against all virtues and against every manner of goodness. And so this, folks, this is one bad sin, right? And so we need to take a closer look at the problem of envy. First of all, envy was part of original sin in this world. We often think about pride as being the original sin. Pride was certainly a big part of it, but envy was right there alongside. Both Satan in heaven and Eve in the garden gave in to the sin of envy. Satan wanted to be like God. And Satan's temptation to Eve in the garden was, Eve, you will be like God. And so envy was part of original sin in the world. It's no wonder it makes a regular appearance in the various sin lists in the Bible. Every once in a while, as you're reading the Bible, you come across a whole catalog or list of sins. I'll give you a couple of them. Romans 1:29 says, they've become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. 1 Peter 2:1 says, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Envy is part of original sin. Secondly, envy draws you away from God. Jesus said this in John 5:44. He said, how can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? You see, envy draws you away from God to look for the praise that comes from other people instead of the praise that comes from God, which is the only praise that really matters. And as a result, envy stunts your spiritual growth. That's what Paul told the believers at Corinth. He said, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. You're mere infants in Christ. Since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? They're full of jealousy, quarreling. Envy draws you away from God, and it keeps you a spiritual infant in the kingdom of God. Not only that, but envy also makes you miserable. It makes you miserable. The book of Proverbs says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Now, all sin, okay, every sin in the book, all sin's going to make you miserable eventually. But the sin of envy makes you miserable right from the start. Right? Most other sins, they provide some type of gratification at the beginning, right? That's why we're tempted to begin with. There's something pleasant or pleasing about it. We think we're going to get something good out of it. That's why we're tempted. But not envy. Envy makes you miserable all the way through, right from the very beginning all the way to the end. When we envy, we fail to praise God for the good we see in others, and we fail to be thankful for our own blessings. And so envy steals your joy and robs God's glory. That makes it a big problem. Envy also leads to other sins. We just read this from James chapter 3. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. And so envy leads to a whole host of other problems and sins. Envy is the cause of broken relationships, lack of community, arguments, even wars. And it was envy that led to the greatest sin of all, the greatest sin in all of human history, putting Jesus to death on the cross. The Bible says it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to Pilate. Envy can also keep you out of heaven. Well, that's a problem. Galatians 5 says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And here we have another one of those sin lists. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like, I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so envy got Satan thrown out of heaven. And envy will also keep many people from entering the kingdom of heaven. Finally, envy is ultimately destructive. Job 5:2 puts it plainly, resentment kills a fool and envy slays the simple. So here's the deal, okay? If you want to participate in the original sin that led to all other sins, if you want to be drawn away from God, if you want to make yourself miserable, if you want to open yourself up to all sorts of other sins, if you want to live in a way that is ultimately self-destructive and can even keep you out of heaven, then envy is your ticket to ride. I don't think any of us want that though, do we? Right? There's a better way. There's a better way, and God wants to help you with the problem of envy in your life. So what exactly is envy? We want to talk now about understanding envy. We've seen that it's a big problem, but we need to take some time to really understand this sin before we can learn how to deal with it in our lives. And first of all, I want us to talk about the difference between envy and jealousy, right? We often think those things are the same. They're very similar. We often use the words interchangeably, but there is still a very subtle difference between the two. I'll try to explain it to you. Envy is desiring something that someone else has. That's envy, okay? Someone else has got something. I want that. Envy's desiring something someone else has. Jealousy is not wanting someone else to have what you have. You're jealous of what you've got. So envy, you want what they've got. Jealousy, you don't want them to have what you've got. Envy says, I want what you've got. Jealousy says, stay away from what I've got. Envy is marked by covetousness. Jealousy is marked by possessiveness. Envy makes you resentful. Jealousy makes you territorial. Envy is when I want to play guitar as good as you do. Oh man, if only I could play guitar like them. Jealousy is when I don't want you to play guitar as good as I do. Oh man, they're getting better. I don't want that. Envy is when you wish you had a husband like your friend's husband. Jealousy is when you don't want anyone messing with your own husband. And as such, jealousy is a very powerful emotion. Proverbs 27:4 says, anger is cruel, fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Now, just as we learned last week that there's such a thing as righteous anger, right? We saw the difference between sinful anger and righteous anger last week. There's also such a thing as godly jealousy. We don't often think about that, do we? But just like anger, jealousy is not necessarily a sin. For example, God is jealous, but in a good way. God doesn't sin, right? God says in Exodus 34, do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, with a capital J, is a jealous God. We read in Deuteronomy 32, they made him jealous with their foreign gods, and they angered him with their detestable idols. You see, God is jealous for your worship and your affections. Why? Because your worship and affections belong rightfully to him. Right? That's what 1 Corinthians 6 says. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You belong to another. When you become a Christian, you belong to God in a whole new way because the Holy Spirit has now come to dwell within you. And that's why the book of James says, or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? That's how much God loves you. He loves you with a godly jealousy. He doesn't want to see you wandering off to false gods that will never satisfy. Now, God is not the only one who can exercise godly jealousy. We can also exercise a godly jealousy for God. For God. We see this when the psalmist says in Psalm 119, streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. The psalmist looked around at his culture. He saw people disobeying God's law. He was so jealous for God's honor, tears streamed from his eyes. The apostle Paul felt a godly jealousy when he visited the city of Athens. We read in Acts 17, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. He was jealous for God's honor and glory. We exercise a godly jealousy for God. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, and we mean it. What do we pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in that prayer, what are we doing? We're praying for God's name to be honored. We're praying for God's kingdom and will to be done. We are jealous for God's glory and honor. It's a godly jealousy. We can also exercise a godly jealousy for other believers. We do this as Christians. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, Corinthians, I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And so Paul was jealous for them in a good way. He was jealous over the possibility that they might somehow be led away from Christ and away from a pure devotion to Jesus. Marriage is another place where we can exercise godly jealousy. We read these stirring words in the Song of Solomon. Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death. Its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. In other words, it is right for a husband or wife to be jealous of their spouse because you rightfully belong to each other. Now, it's not right to be jealous without any reason, okay? That's called unreasonable jealousy, not godly jealousy. But a husband should guard his relationship with his wife, and a wife should guard her relationship with her husband. So there is such a thing as godly jealousy. We've just seen it in the Bible. I want you to notice something, though. There is no such thing as godly envy. God is jealous for that which rightfully belongs to him, but he is never envious of anything that you or I have. God doesn't want your iPhone. He's got plenty. Unfortunately, just as we are more familiar with sinful anger than righteous anger, so we are more familiar with sinful envy and jealousy than godly jealousy. So now we want to look at some of the ways that a sinful envy or a sinful jealousy manifests themselves. And there's a bunch of them. I'm going to share six of them with you. Once again, that outline might be helpful to follow along. One common way is through sibling rivalry. Sibling rivalry. And trust me, that doesn't just mean when you're a kid, okay? Many of us struggle with sibling rivalry all the way through our adult years as well. And the Bible lists a long line of brothers and sisters who struggled with sibling rivalry. Cain and Abel, right at the beginning. Jacob and Esau. Joseph and his brothers. These all struggled with sibling rivalry. Aaron and Miriam were jealous of their brother Moses. Jesus' brothers were jealous of Jesus. And it seems no one is exempt. One person said, sibling rivalry is inevitable. The only sure way to avoid it is to have just one child. And even though sibling rivalry may be inevitable, parents, so much of it is preventable. There's so much you can do to tap this down. Why did Joseph's brothers envy Joseph? The Bible tells us, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Later on, we read, because they were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave into Egypt. And so parents, do your best to love and treat your children equally. You will go a long way towards lessening the poison of sibling rivalry. Another common example of sinful envy is what we sometimes call professional jealousy. You ever heard that term before? Professional jealousy is when you are envious or jealous of someone who does the same type of work that you do. Tradesmen, salesmen, doctors, lawyers, preachers, mothers. Any of us can struggle with professional jealousy. King Saul struggled with professional jealousy when David outdid him on the battlefield. We saw those women dancing in the streets, singing how Saul had killed thousands, but David tens of thousands. We read this, Saul was very angry. Now we hear his words. They've credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David, professional jealousy. Another way we participate in sinful envy is through coveting and comparing. You know, the advertising world doesn't do us any favors when it comes to coveting, do they? Have you ever noticed that they never advertise products? They advertise people enjoying products. If they just showed you the product, they might get you on greed. But if they can show you the person enjoying the product, oh, they can get you on envy. And apparently envy makes a whole lot more money than greed. King Solomon observed, I saw that all labor and all achievements spring from man's envy of his neighbor. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. And you know what? We all fall into this trap at one time or another, coveting, comparing. The writer Gore Vidal once confessed very honestly, said this, whenever a friend succeeds, a little something in me dies. But isn't that the truth? Don't we struggle with that? John McGowan writes, "Don't waste time on comparison. It only leads to pride or discouragement." One of the problems with coveting and comparing is that you can never truly compare yourself to another person. You don't really know what they're going through. Proverbs 14:10 says, "Each heart knows its own bitterness. No one else can share its joy." And so that means you can only compare yourself to what you think you know about the other person. The truth is, you're only comparing yourself to phantoms in your own mind. Not real people with real problems that you know nothing about. Comparing is a trap. It's an illusion. We waste so much time wishing we could be someone else. And especially when that person is probably wishing they could be someone else. They might even be wishing they could be you. And you're both envying each other. And that's why the Bible says each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself or herself without comparing himself to somebody else. I like the way another person put it. They said, "Be yourself because everyone else is taken." Sinful envy also manifests itself in evil thoughts towards others. Oh boy. When you're envious or jealous, boy, you can think some pretty terrible things about other people. Proverbs 24:17 tells us, "Do not gloat when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice." Oh, how we need to repent of this sin of envy and ask God for his forgiveness. Still got two more here. The fifth way we can practice sinful envy or jealousy is when we envy the wicked. When we envy the wicked, this is how this goes. Here you are, you're trying to live a good life for God, right? And you feel like you're getting nowhere. And lo and behold, these other people out there who care nothing about God, they seem to be doing real well. They seem to be doing so much better than you. And God addresses this kind of envy in Psalm 37. We read it earlier in the service. He said, "Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Instead, what do? Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And then one more way that we participate in the sin of envy and jealousy is when we cause other people to envy. Causing other people to envy. Can anyone say Christmas letters? You ever got those Christmas letters? "Oh yes, we had this wonderful vacation. Here are the pictures. Here's my beautiful family. Hey, we just got promoted. Brand new house. By the way, my kids are doing so good. You wouldn't believe they got promoted as well." And you're reading and you're beginning to envy. Or how about Facebook posts? Do we ever post something on Facebook that makes us look good just in hopes that others might envy us and how good we're doing? Does anyone ever post a bad selfie? I'm still waiting to see it. Now, there's nothing wrong with writing Christmas letters or Facebook posts sharing about the good things that God's doing in your life, but you got to watch your motives, right? You need to be careful that you're not intentionally causing other people to envy. And the Apostle Paul, he was very careful about this. Very careful. He wrote this, 2 Corinthians 12. He said, "I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say." Galatians 5:26 says, "Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. If envy is a sin, then so is provoking other people to envy." We need to be more careful about what we share, why we share, how we share it, and who we share it with. So we've talked about the problem of envy. We've delved more deeply into our understanding of envy. So now we come to our final point. How do we deal with this problem of envy in our lives? Let me share with you five very practical things you can do starting today. Starting today, you can do these things. And this is how God will help you deal with envy in your life. First and foremost, confess it as sin. Got to start there. Confess it as sin. James 3:14 says, if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny it. Denying the truth. If you struggle with envy, don't boast about it. Don't deny it. Instead, confess it. Confess it to God and receive his forgiveness through Jesus. That's where you start. Number two, accept your calling. Accept your calling. The book of Acts says, from one man, God made every nation of man that they should inhabit the whole earth. And God determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. Now, we're going to talk more about this in a few weeks when we get to the problem of self-image, another big problem many of us deal with. But for right now, I just want you to realize this. God put you where you are and he gave you the gifts you have for a reason. And the sooner you accept your particular calling, instead of always wanting to be someone else, the sooner you can leave envy in the dust and find all the good things God has for you right now, right here, right where you are. Amen? Psalm 75 says this, no one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt a man, but it is God who judges. God brings one down. He exalts another. And R.T. Kendall very insightfully comments on this verse. He says, when I am jealous of those who are successful, admired, mightily used, elevated, promoted rather than me and more popular. He says, when I'm jealous over those things, I'm really angry with God. See, when you find yourself envying someone, understand it's not really about them. Your argument is really with God. Frederick Bruner writes, the best antidote to envy is the conviction of the sovereignty of God. That's good. I'm going to say that again. The best antidote to envy is the conviction of the sovereignty of God. And part of that comes with accepting your calling. Number three, love God, love other people. Right? Jesus said, this is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. Romans 12 tells us, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. You see, love looks for the good in the other person. And then love rejoices in it rather than resents it. And when you love God and your neighbor, there is no room left over for envy. Number four, be content in Christ. Paul wrote to the Philippians, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Find your contentment in Christ and be thankful for the gifts God has given you. Contentment and thankfulness will go a long ways towards combating envy in your life. And then finally, just like last week, we end where? With the fruit of the Spirit. Every week we end right here at the fruit of the Spirit. It's only as the Holy Spirit does his work in you, changing your character from within, that you'll finally find victory in this area. And there are four of the fruit of the Spirit that I think are especially applicable here. Love, joy, peace, and self-control. We've already spoken about love. If you love, you won't envy. Joy, if you've got the joy of God, there's not going to be a whole lot of room for envy or jealousy. Peace, if you're at peace with God, very little envy. Self-control, when you feel that envy or jealousy rising up, you ask the Spirit, help me to control this. Love, joy, peace, self-control, fruit of the Spirit. Envy is a particularly nasty problem. Envy robs God of his glory and you of your joy. But Jesus came to help you with your problems. So ask him to help you with the problem of envy today. Let's pray. Well, dear God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how your word just really opens up this problem for us. We can see it in all of its manifest ugliness. And Lord, we are so sorry. We are so sorry for giving into this sin on a consistent and regular basis. Lord, help us with this problem. Help us to take these 5 action points and put them into action. There are things that we can do, and then there are things that only you can do. And so we ask you to do the things that you will. Help us to do the things that we can. And Lord, I just pray for anyone here, if envy is their big problem. You know, I think for each of us, one of these problems we look at over this series will be our big problem. If envy is their big problem, Lord, I pray that you would help them. First of all, help them to know how much you love them. Lord, your grace is enough. It's sufficient. You cannot love us more, and you will not love us less. And even when we've sinned with the sin of envy, you love us, and you forgive us in Christ. But Lord, we want to get rid of this sin for your sake, for your glory. And you want us to get rid of this sin for our sake, that we can let go of this misery that is just rots our bones and live in the fullness and the freedom of love, joy, and peace, and self-control. So we give ourselves to you and ask that you do a work in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.